That's the new number one, Drew Baldridge. And this is Phil Nee saying happy trails to you. We're going to put our little records away, and we'll be back your way with some community conversation. Talk about Richland County government coming up here during the morning show time as they look ahead to some special things coming up here in the near future. And we'll have that for you following our ABC News update on the radio, sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families. The Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. Right now in Richland Center, it is 67 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Donald Trump's new campaign pledge says if elected, he'll make in vitro fertility treatments free. No specifics on how it would be paid for. Most Americans say Kamala Harris will accept the outcome of the 2024 presidential election. What about former President Trump? ABC's Selena Wang.
In a new ABC News Ipsos poll, it finds that only 29% say that Trump is prepared to accept the outcome of this election. But Trump's election denialism also resonates with some voters. Despite there being no evidence of widespread voter fraud, 1 in 3 say they are not confident that votes will be accurately counted in this election.
The government this morning reporting consumer prices rose just 2% from June to July and remained low last month. Compared with a year earlier, inflation remains the same at 2.5%. NHL player Johnny Gaudreau killed Thursday night in New Jersey while riding a bicycle by an alleged drunk driver. This is ABC News. Exactly 3 years ago today, the U.S. finished its withdrawal from Afghanistan. ABC's Tom Rivers at the foreign desk.
The disarray in Kabul, the loss of lives, and not a single person in the administration resigned. People like retired Green Beret Scott Mann reflecting on those left behind in the chaos.
There were so many commandos, intelligence operatives, interpreters and their families that we just left in a lurch, that we left at risk.
He describes the work over the past few years of trying to get people out as the world's longest 9/11 call, a call he refuses to hang up on. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the foreign desk.
Venezuela's president blaming major power outages this morning in the capital of Caracas on what he calls electrical sabotage. And a new way to call for help on the way from Verizon. The company says starting this fall, some of its phones will be able to send messages and share location data via satellite. And Verizon says there'll be no extra charge. Dave Packer, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and Sunday at 4 p.m. with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead. 649-7469 for carryouts from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
People often ask us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Gattiger Pratt Funeral Home, what can I do to help? I'm Mark Jelenic. Some of the suggestions we share are simple and practical. Preparing food, washing clothes, cleaning the house, mowing the yard, or answering the telephone are just a few of the practical ways to show you care. Remember, support is needed at the time of death, and it is no less important in the weeks and months afterwards. For more helpful information, visit us at PrattFuneralService.com.
A high today in the low 80s. Decreasing clouds as the day goes on and a northwest wind at 7 to 15 miles per hour. Clear tonight, areas of fog possible, a low of 55. Sunny, breezy, and warm Saturday, a high of 83. Clear and nice Saturday night and 58. 74 and sunny Sunday and sunny and pleasant Labor Day and 73. This summer's hottest lineup is not at a music festival, it's at Dunkin', because Dunkin' is serving up some iconic ice-cold drinks that'll turn your summer fun up to 10,000 degrees. Headlining this lineup is the Dunkin' Iced Coffee. The refreshing trio of Dunkin' Refreshers flavors are also featured, including new Kiwi Watermelon, and the new Sparked Energy Drink is debuting in a fizzy spectacle of vitamins, minerals, and caffeine. Dunkin' has the cold bevy lineup that'll keep America running all summer long. Drop by or order one ahead on the Dunkin' app. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply. Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
November 21st, 2021. The Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration, turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an eight-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hi, this is Julie Cairns with State Farm. Like a good neighbor is not just a corporate slogan or a catchy jingle. It's much more than that. It's how we try to encapsulate the enormous amount of heart and soul that drives our business. It's a title to a story that started over 100 years ago. At Julie Cairns State Farm, we're about relationships, not transactions. We participate in the lives of our customers and community. We are invited to help you with the things that matter most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we have a unique experience to talk a little bit about Richland County government. And joining us today is Dave Turk, Richland County Board Chairman. Also, we have Steve Williamson here, the Vice President of the Board. And Candace Pesch joins us, County Administrator. And we're going to be talking about all the things county related here today. Dave, you're the veteran broadcaster, so you drew the short straw. We bring you on first.
Good morning.
I was thinking about all the silly things we did when we were like in our late teens and early 20s. You know, and
yeah, it's only been a couple years ago, right?
And here you are in a place of you know, where you got to actually be responsible.
Well, I could say the same for you too. So
exactly,
yes, it's been a journey. It certainly has been a journey. I've been in the county board for, well, this is my seventh term now, so time flies when you're having fun. But this year I was elected chair of the board. So we have new leadership in our board, and it coincided with a new structure that we put into how the board operates and our committees and things like that. We realign and reorganize committees to try to cut down on the number of them, so it's not, you know, you're in meetings constantly, make it a little easier for folks to be able to do. And with our administrator, we refined our structure so that it's clear how the chain of command is organized. The county board does not micromanage agencies. The county board does not, you know, go on site at a county office and tell people what to do. That's not our job as board members. Our administrator is the top of the pyramid, so to speak. The county board supervises the administrator. And then the administrator works with the department heads in each of the departments to run those departments. And it empowers the department head to run their own department. They don't have to worry about a county board member coming and breathing down their neck or anything like that. Our job is to make the bigger decisions, to set policies, to set parameters, working on the budget. That's something we're doing right now. And make sure all those things are in place so that the county departments can do the work they need to do to serve the citizens of the county.
I think about all the changes and things that you've seen just on your time on the board, Dave.
There have been a lot. You know, Jeanetta Kirkpatrick was, I believe, in fairly new board chair when I first started on the board, and she served for a number of years. Marty Brewer was my predecessor as chair on the board. So, yeah, we've seen a lot of change in that regard. Having our administrator has significantly changed our county budgeting process. It's a lot more organized than it ever was before. We're seeing a lot better results. Department heads are getting more involved in the conversations. And it's been better for us as board members because we get to look at the big picture, which is what we're supposed to be doing as board members. We look at the big picture. How is the county organized overall? Are we being responsible with the tax dollars we're entrusted with and making those kinds of decisions instead of spending time as a board, you know, multiple days in a row working with each department head and trying to go through the minutia of the budget they bring us. We have our administrator and other staff that are working with the department heads to develop their budgets and then bringing that to us as a board to talk about and make our decisions on, which worked out really well last year. I think that was the biggest contrast we've seen in the few years that we've had administrator. Candace has been with us just a little over a year, but we've made some great strides in that process. And that stuff the public doesn't generally see. But it's behind the scenes. It's part of our process as board members and as a county board. And it was a really big step forward.
Steve Williamson is here as well. Steve, tell us a little bit about why did you first get on the county board?
I started on the county board in 2016, I believe. So I finished up 4 2-year terms, starting my fifth. My mother was active town treasurer for 30 plus years. So I actually joined the township board with her for a while, then I decided to run for the county board. So I decided if I'm going to live here the rest of my life, I want to be able to have a say in how things are going to end up and hopefully better for those following in our footsteps.
Representatives from throughout the county, and you're from your neck of the woods there.
Yeah, yep. I've got the southwestern corner that go all the way to Crawford County, and we have a road project that has just been completed, you know, in front of my house. And then we've got the bridge project that's been talked about a lot that crosses over into Blue River. So that created a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has. And that turned out for the better in the Blue River Bridge.
Yes,
area.
Yes. It's going to be a while before it's completed, but they listen to the people. You know, 50% of our fire district, you know, Justin was just on here a couple weeks ago for our Autumn Fest, which was last week, and a little over 50% of our district is on the north side of the river. So they would not have very sufficient coverage in a timely manner. It would be the easiest way to explain why. They finally realized that when you have engineers involved, they didn't understand why we couldn't just leave a truck parked over there all year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that weather that gets below 32 degrees that causes issues with fire trucks. So,
sure. So it worked out for the better.
Yes, yes. It'll be a while before it's done, so we have to put a few more Band-Aids. The highway department has been working on it. So that, I think they're talking 2030, 2031. So
down the road. Lots of roads to keep track of in the county, though, right?
Yes.
It's a never-ending thing.
At one time, I used to know the exact mileage when I was the chairman of the highway committee, and now that's committee has become public works, and with my new role here as vice chair, Ken Reinisch is now the chairman of the public works committee. So,
okay. So, as vice chair, what are some of your responsibilities?
Fill in when Dave's not around.
Okay, that works.
Candace keeps us abreast on a lot of issues, usually now with email, text message. So, he's busy, I'm busy, busy time of year at my work. So, it works to have both of us involved and in the know, I guess is the best way to say.
You know, county board sometimes, I think, over the years has kind of flown under the radar, Dave. But you guys have been a little bit more visible here. You've been in the news a little bit more the last year and a half.
Right. So. Some by choice, some quite not by choice.
Right.
But, yeah, and we're trying to do that. We want to be more engaged with the public. We want to be as open as we can and as visible as we can so people understand what's really going on. You know, I was board chair for all of a week when we got the notification from UW System that they plan to just walk away from the campus property. So it started early for me in my term as chair. So, and that definitely got us all out of attention, and it still does. Because, you know, we have a public meeting coming up next week when we're going to get a report on the physical condition of the campus buildings and other county buildings that we've had studied. So we continue to want to open up that process, and we made the decision that we want to have that be an open public meeting and invite as many people as want to come. So we got a venue at the White House Banquet Hall that'll hold more people so we can all hear the news at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Very important. So people should take note of that meeting next Wednesday.
Yes. Yes, and we try to do that with other things, too, where we do the stuff out in the open. Communicate the information to the best of our ability so people really do know what's going on. We have an obligation, you know, under state law to have open meetings and make things accessible. In the last couple years, we've done more online meetings, which gives other folks a chance to join in and hear the stuff as it's happening live. I know Joanne attends online a fair amount of the time, mm-hmm. and so it works out for people to be able to access county government at times when they might not have been able to otherwise.
We'll bring Candace into the conversation. Good morning, Candace Pesch. How are you?
Good morning.
First trip to the morning show studios.
Yes, it is.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would.
So I'm originally from Albert Lea, Minnesota. I grew up in Hayfield, Minnesota, if you can believe it, a town of 2,000 people. So I'm used to small town USA. I'm married to a Marine, retired, so I've lived all over the world, Paris, Bahrain. I was with the State Department, so I lived in India, worked in India for about 2 years on my own as a consular officer. And I believe in government. I believe in local government. My grandfather served as a county commissioner for over 16 years, so this is something that's near and dear to me, and I believe local government makes a difference. And so I'm very passionate about the work I do. I believe in it. And, you know, I have come to really love my job here, and I love the people here. And I am enjoying serving. I think we have a lot of challenges, but I think we can make things better. And that's what we're working to do every day.
You've been on the job just a little over a year. But again, there's been kind of a firestorm during that time, hasn't there been?
Yep, absolutely. We've had some big challenges. We've had some really out of the norm things happen, but we've faced them, we've dealt with them, we've persevered, and we continue to do so. Each time that there is a hiccup or a hill to climb, we get over it, we deal with it, and we're transparent, and we move on. And that's all we can do.
Dave talked about the meeting coming up on Wednesday night, but as I understand, you, the board members, you're going to learn about this feasibility study all at the same time. At this point, you really don't know what it says.
Correct. So, you know, we really feel as though it's a one-time, it's a one-shot deal. We have to do this right the first time. And so, you know, we said in the very beginning of this that we needed to make data-driven decisions because we have a very limited tax base. Our citizens are highly taxed. We know this. We need to make the very best choices that we can and utilize those dollars in the very best ways possible. We know that losing the campus has been a very emotional topic for many, many people here, and we want to be as respectful as we can in how we move forward with this. And so we decided as a board to hire Venture Architects to come in and evaluate the condition of all of those buildings, as well as the county buildings, because you can't make any decisions on future use until you know exactly what you have. We were made aware that there was not very much maintenance done on those buildings throughout the many years that they were in use. And deferred maintenance, as we all know, is very, very costly. And so you need to know what you're looking at, because if you just decide to reuse a building and then the HVAC system goes out and then the windows are bad and then you have to replace this and this, pretty soon you're pouring millions of dollars into one building. And is that really the best, most efficient use of taxpayer dollars? And so that was really the logic that we decided to use when approaching this study. And so given the fact that, you know, it's very easy for misinformation to run rampant and rumors to start and, you know, all of those things. We consulted with the chair, the vice chair, and, you know, we just decided that it would be best that everybody hear the same message at the same time in the same room, that the public get the same information as the board directly from the consultants who did the work, who walked through those buildings, who did that evaluation. So that's the logic behind the meeting on Wednesday. So they will be presenting the information, they will have slides, they will have pictures, they will answer very limited amounts of questions just about the conditions of the building. We're not going to be talking future uses at this time, nothing along those lines, because the board will not have had any time to process these either. But at least it'll give us an idea of what we have at this point to help us decide, you know, start processing where we want to go in the future.
So at this point, you're not talking about selling property or selling buildings or knocking down buildings or anything?
Nope. We're just getting, these are the conditions, and yes, we think there could be potential to utilize this building in the future, or no, we don't think that it is wise to continue use of this building.
That's right. Also in the news, Dave, you know, $2 million from the state coming back to the county. Could you address that?
We're still awaiting the final application process to be able to access that money. It's been made available by the legislature. The governor signed it. It has to go through a state agency. I believe it's Economic Development Authority. So we're waiting on the final application process to be able to access that, and we need it. One of the things we do know about the property, there are two different bridges you have to cross to get out to the campus property. They are both severely deficient. As it stands right now, the assessment of them was it would not be safe to bring heavy equipment across those bridges to do anything on the property at this point. So we're going to have to use some of that money to replace. Well, we're starting with one bridge, the one on the Simons side of the property, will be replaced next year as quickly as we can. We've got engineering work being done on that. It'll be about $600,000, I believe, was the number they threw at us.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and so that will take a chunk of that money, but you've got to be able to get to the property. So once we get that bridge done, then we'll have to look at the other one and figure out what we do with that. So right away, you're looking at a significant investment just to be able to get to the property. So it starts with that.
Mm-hmm. It is a relief that the keys were turned back to the county, though, from UW-Platteville, though, right?
Mostly, yes.
Mostly?
It was a large quantity of keys. wouldn't say it was maybe the best organized collection of keys, but yeah, we do now have control of the buildings. We're trying to make sure we keep it secure. We have not had the time to go through the buildings and figure out what all is there. They left behind a fair amount of stuff. We know that. We haven't had time to do an inventory. You know, we're not disposing of quantities of property or anything like that. Right now, we know there are some items out there that belong to various organizations, and Candace is working with those organizations to get them access so they can get their stuff out of there. There have been a couple of either county or partner folks that we've shared like some tables with, but there's been no selling of anything. There's no inventory list anywhere of what's available. We've been approached by a lot of people who have an interest, but right now we haven't gotten that far yet. It's just a matter of, okay, first we had to make sure we could get the lawn mowed. And we got that under control, so that's being taken care of. We have some folks in offices out at Melville Hall, but other than that, it's just making sure we keep the facility secure and in decent shape while we figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah, lots of talk about the gym, obviously, and all the trophies. I've heard mm-hmm. that too, you know, mm-hmm. and what's going to happen eventually, you know, with that kind of stuff. And you're a alumnus of the UW yep. Richland as well.
Yep, that's so. Right. Somewhere in the archives of the Roadrunner newspaper, there's a picture of me before they built Simons. I was on the staff of the newspaper there for a year while I was out there, and we missed the groundbreaking. So I worked with the photographer at the time and grabbed some construction gear from the workshop and turned my face away from the camera so you couldn't see it was me. And I believe the caption in the photo was student construction worker gets the jump on something like that. So we tried to recreate something for the front page. It was fun.
Oh, back in the day.
Yep.
I could shed some light on the trophies and those items. So
sure.
Both the Alumni Association and the foundation were allowed time to go in and collect all of those items. So I have been working with Kathy Granger to ensure that any items that the Alumni Association was wanting access to, they have been able to collect. So they have them. They have put them in a storage area until they can figure out what they want to do with them eventually. There have also been some members of the Historic Society that have come and taken some of the documents, some of the historical athletic records, things like that. We have made sure that they have access to those because they want to make sure that those are maintained. And then the alumni or the foundation also has taken some of the items that are relevant to them or that they purchased or that they feel are memorabilia, and they have relocated those to the Smart Farm. So at any point, if there's something that they remember or think of, you know, they contact me and we make sure that they get access so that they can, you know, get those items. Because again, they're theirs. We want them to have them. You know, those things we're really trying hard to make sure that we're working with those community partners to make sure that they have access to those items. The community theater group as well. That's the other one that they didn't have as much time to get in and get the items that they wanted. And I know they were having a theater production and they needed some items. So I worked with them, made sure they could get in and at least get the items they needed immediately. Then once this last production was done, they said that they'd get a hold of me again. And I said, I'll spend a half a day out here or whatever you need. Make sure you can get whatever else you guys have because it's yours. We want you to have those items.
Very good. The East Hall, of course, that's gone to the Richland Center School District as a partner school. That's still an educational building.
Yep, that transition took place over a couple years. It's now officially theirs. They purchased it from us, so and up and running.
Mm-hmm. There are possibilities of something like that in the future as well, I presume, then again.
Just depends on what we know, we find out.
What you find out, whether they can be reused or not. I was going to ask you, Steve, too, about the bridge. You know, you probably know a little bit more about that, but that's a pretty good undertaking. I suppose the current bridge will be closed at that time when they
It's, as Josh describes, it's a cookie-cutter bridge. It's a very common bridge that, you know, they build quite often throughout the state. But they'll still have access from the other bridge to the Simon Center. So it shouldn't be process-wise. I don't know if he was thinking 3 months. I don't know if they've really got a timeline yet. But we'll keep people involved, and especially the Simons. I told everybody in easiest explanation of it, it's a home inspection. If you're going to buy something, you want to know the condition of it. So if we try and tell them feasibility study or this or that, I told everybody that I talked to about it, we're doing a home inspection, basically, on everything out there at the campus. That's the simplest way to explain.
Yep.
They're looking at everything. Concrete, a lot of everything out there is still original. Doors, windows, HVAC, and some of the stuff is run through the south end of the gymnasium is where all electricity comes in. So there's a building room is bigger than this room that we're in that is just full of all the electrical components. And then two or three boilers in there that actually heat a couple other buildings. So it's not just closing one building down if we want to for the winter. It's going to take some work. So, and we're just starting to get the electric bills on a couple buildings, which is more than what any of us anticipated.
I bet. And as we know, if a building sits empty very long, it does deteriorate pretty quickly, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah, no different than our farm buildings, you know, the farm buildings that we all milk cows in, and if you don't keep them up, they do fall down, and that could be the same issue out here. We did have the storm that came through a couple, 3 years ago, I think, the hailstorm, so a lot of the roofs have been replaced with the insurance out there. I think that was about 3 years ago.
Something like that, yeah. And not all of every roof was done, and so there are still some definite deficiencies that we'll have to address. You can't have a building without a roof. I mean, that's just a no-go. So, you know, we know that there are those kinds of needs. And as Steve mentioned, there's a lot of stuff out there that's original equipment from when it was built, and some of those systems are past their life expectancy.
An important meeting coming up on Wednesday night, Candace.
Correct, yes. Wednesday night at the White House Hotel, 6 p.m. in the banquet room. You can park around the back and enter in the banquet room doors from the back parking lot, especially for those that access is a challenge. That way you don't have to worry about stairs or an elevator. Otherwise, you can come in the main front doors and go right down the stairs, and you will be right down into the banquet room.
Anything else anybody would like to add about the campus while we're on that topic? Do we hit that pretty well?
I think we've hit that pretty well. We're looking forward to hearing the information Wednesday night as much as the public, and then we have to start really thinking about stuff. So we know it's been a slower process than people would have liked, and we would love to have answers a lot quicker than we have, but we also, as Candace said, we need to do this right. So we want to be careful, get all the information we need, and then make the best decisions we can.
Wonderful. We'll move on to some other topics concerning the Richland County and some of the things behind the scenes coming up when the morning show continues.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Get those projects completed this season with QuickCrete fast-setting concrete mix from All American Do It Center. Time is everything. It's valuable to you, so why sit there waiting? Instead, that time could be with family, the kids or pets, going to an event, or moving along to the next project. Fence and deck posts, sidewalks and steps, basketball hoops or mailbox posts. Create memories with your children's hand or footprints. So why spend extra time waiting for concrete to dry? Ask for fast-setting concrete mix, the red bag of QuickCrete, at All American Do It Center in Toma, Sparta, and Richland Center.
Hey there, I'm Lance Bass, and this is Chip. And for more than 100 years, American Humane has been protecting animals in times of crisis. And if you're like me, your pet means the world to you, and you want to keep them safe if disaster strikes. American Humane's first responders are always prepared to rescue animals in danger, but you can also help. To learn more about disaster planning and keeping your animals safe, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Everyone has a community, a neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use, community members can be your eyes and ears when you're not with your kids and alert you to signs of potential problems.
We're talking about Richland County Government, Richland County Board, and David Turk is here, along with Steve Williamson and Candace Pesch, talking about the many subjects. Well, coming up, Dave, the Richland County Fair. That's a big event for all of us, isn't it?
It is. And when you talk about what the county does, you think of certain things that are really visible. You see the orange trucks out plowing the roads in the wintertime, right? You see the sheriff's department. Those are really visible things that a county does. The county fair is also a very visible and very important event in the community. And we're very excited about the fair coming up this year. We have a new fair coordinator who's doing a bang-up job trying to get things lined up and actually has some live entertainment lined up for this year. We're very excited about that. And by golly, it is really coming up fast here.
Before
you know it, it's going to be here. I know they're looking for volunteers to work the gates at the fair when people are coming in. So folks have interest in that, reach out to our fair coordinator, and Candace can give you information about that. But it's been a process, and And it's always a fantastic opportunity for the community and the county to get together and showcase a lot of what makes Richland County great.
Candace Lyrica Marks, I know she's been on our program a few times, but she's been making it happen here early on.
She is outstanding. You know, she came on board and she's just got this energy about her. And it's phenomenal. She's also a graphic designer. So all of the marketing materials that you see, she has done herself, which is really unique and outstanding. And I just think she's just a wonderful talent and a wonderful addition to our staff. But she came in knowing absolutely nothing about organizing and or running a fair. Now, I have to give a shout out to Sandy Campbell, you know, who has been with Extension for years, has been on our fair committee for years, because without Sandy, she would have been lost. But Sandy has been just absolutely by her side and mentoring her and, you know, just showing her the ropes. And we are so, so grateful for Sandy and all the work that she has done to assist Lyrica. But Lyrica has been out, you know, walking from business to business, calling different areas. We have sponsors from Baraboo this year bringing in campers that will be the dressing rooms for Ashley Ryan for our entertainment that is coming in this year. We have local Airbnb owners that are giving a discount and sponsoring their Airbnb for the crew to stay in overnight. We have more sponsorships than we've ever had, both in, you know, volunteer cleanup that we've never had before to dollars. So she's just really making an impact and really building connections in the community, and it's outstanding to see. So I couldn't be more proud of her and the work that she is doing. It's really wonderful.
The sponsorships are important. I know the county's behind the fair, but it's not cheap to put on this the fair, is it?
No, it's not. Every year expenses go up. Every year it gets harder and harder to get sponsorships, both in kind, labor, or, you know, donations. Vitesnik's every year donates for us, you know, UTVs and side-by-sides, which we love and appreciate so much. There are others that I know annually donate certain items that we rely on, and it's amazing. I wish I had the list in front of me and could read them all off. But, you know, it every year the costs go up, and every year we need more and more and more. But the volunteerism is where we need it the most. This year, Peg Call every year organizes our gates. And we are still so short on gate help. And so if there are people out there that are willing to volunteer, Lyrica has put it out on the Facebook page. Or please call the fair office, call my office. But, you know, we would greatly appreciate additional volunteers. I guess I'd also like to address, I know there's a rumor out there that we're not going to be having the fair in the future. And I'm not exactly sure where that got started, but, you know, we are planning to have the fair. What we have indicated is that we would love to see a community partnership form and maybe a community group that would like to assist us in putting on the fair so that we had more volunteers from the get-go. Because it is really difficult with one person organizing and just a small fair committee to try to put the whole thing on. And as we all know, you know, the more hands that do something, the better the event is. And so it would just make everything better if it was a community-led event. So that's really what the idea was and what we were hoping to maybe do one day. But the fair is here to stay as far as we are concerned. So I would love to put the community's mind at ease about that, because we know that the fair is near and dear to many people.
That could only be a positive, you know, with the county. And then if you had a group that, again, helped kind of organize and things like that and took
Correct.
Some of those responsibilities.
And you know, new ideas. Collaboration. You know, we love the idea, and we keep saying this, you know, we want to hear new ideas, new thoughts. You know, bring it to us. Tell us how we could make it happen. How can we make it work? You know, again, we have a very limited pool of money, and, you know, the entertainment alone for two nights is almost $24,000, you know, and people are saying, well, the gate prices continue to go up and some people can't afford to go with those gate prices. But if we want to continue to have entertainment and we want to continue to have a carnival, you know, so again, how do we get there, right? So all of those things, the more minds we have trying to think about these solutions, the more sponsorships we get. You know, what can we do? How can we get there?
It should be pointed out, though, the gate gets you into Ashley Ryan. It gets you into all the entertainment.
Absolutely. There is no additional charge. So once you pay to get in the gate, that gets you into everything that the fair has to offer. The tractor pulls, Ashley Ryan, all of the other kids' activities, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Steve, the other positive thing, the fairgrounds is looking pretty sharp these days, isn't it?
Yes, I was out there just a little over a month ago, and I was very impressed from what it was a year ago. With picking up, we knew we were probably going to have to start mowing at the campus, so Public Works, working with Josh Elder, we ended up taking one of our existing employees, and he is mowing all the parks. I think there's another gentleman that helps him at the fairgrounds as well, so it is, no, just the one guy that's doing all the parks and the fairgrounds, and then the campus has a separate person that, so it's a lot of mowing, and with the rain we had early on, it was hard to keep up. I know they got behind at the campus with the soccer fields. It was just too wet. They couldn't get in there, so they put their minds together and actually brought in some farming equipment and actually baled the hay off.
That worked.
Yep, and it's so I believe they have been using it now for soccer practice, the school has, and the trails are open on the campus for cross country as well, the ones up through the woods, and they practice there. But yeah, the fairgrounds to me is some of the best that I've seen in a long time. I know they're remodeling both bathrooms and eventually going to build a couple new pump houses over the top of the well pump. So I think anything else?
Yep. They tore down the old bleachers. They had been unusable for several years. They tore them down, got rid of those, pulled those out of there. They did clean up some of the fencing, made that look a little bit better. And I know once the fair is over at the end of the season here, they're going to be repairing the retaining wall that's been looking a little bit rough. We also, you know, just had the bleachers inspected, made sure everything was good there, tightened up some bolts, just made sure that was all good to go. Looked at some light fixtures. So, yeah, just did a lot of maintenance. Some of the fans needed to be repaired or replaced. Made sure that was done, especially with as hot as it's going to be during that fair week. You just needed to make sure that those animals and those in those barns were being cooled down appropriately. We had a lot of, not groundhogs, but what are they? Woodchucks.
Woodchucks.
Josh said there were woodchuck holes everywhere, so there was a lot of woodchuck repair done out there as well.
Don't want somebody to hurt their ankle or anything.
No, step in
those.
So.
Well, it sounds like you're getting there. You're getting ready. Dave, let's talk a little bit about the radio tower project.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while. We started it, oh gosh, it's been probably, well, we started the process and the discussions more than like 2 years ago. We borrowed a significant chunk of money to be able to upgrade our emergency radio communication towers countywide. We had numerous spots where signal levels are low and you would have pages that didn't go through to people or attempts by a deputy on the road to radio back to the sheriff's department and they wouldn't have enough signal to be able to do it. So we embarked on a project. We hired a consultant. They did a study. They came up with an approach to build a couple of new towers and add and improve equipment at other locations to really increase the coverage for the county, particularly in certain spots where we've had struggles. Viola, Cazenovia, a couple of areas where we've had known struggles for years. So trying to get those upgraded. So the project is underway. It's not moving as fast as we'd like, but it is moving. There have been some challenges. You know, we mentioned weather and what it does to grass. Well, it does things to hillsides where you're trying to build roads, too. So it's slowed down some things in that regard. But progress is being made. We have the money in hand that we borrowed to be able to pay for all the equipment and for the work to be done. It's been a great partnership because the county highway department is actually going to be building the access roads that we need to get to these new towers. So and that's a thing we see happening, whether it's with the fair or whatever else is going on in the county. Departments are working together, and we've always had wonderful employees. We've got wonderful department heads that are like Candace had said, giving us new ideas, kind of thinking outside the box. And that's happened with this project too. How can we help make it happen? So even though we've had challenges and even though it's running a little behind schedule, it is still going to happen and we'll be very excited when we're able to bring it online and get that better signal out to the places that need to have that reliable emergency communication.
Yeah, that's a serious thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, important to have people, you know, communication for people to get there on time.
And public safety is one of the biggest things the county does.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at where our money goes, you know, the sheriff's department is one of our bigger departments. And we work closely with emergency responders throughout the county. And so we want to make sure we have that reliable communications for the safety of the public.
Yeah. Is Richland County unique, Steve, as you look around and, you know, about other county boards and the things that they deal with?
I don't know how long ago it was, we talked about reducing numbers. We had a couple areas this year when election time came that they did not find anybody to run. So we had a couple write-ins that are now on. Or we didn't have to assign anybody in this year, did we?
No.
No. So, but as far as, I think we're comparable to both Crawford and Vernon as far as numbers. Of course, Grant County is so much bigger. But they have, I believe, 27 board members. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, they. So we are pretty much the same. We are looking at possibly going down to Venture and reducing our board. Maybe, you know, at the next when is it?
2030. Yeah, 2030.
2030 will be the next census. Yeah. So that's when we redistrict, and my district really didn't change. We didn't have too many people move into southwest Richland County too much, a couple new houses here and there. But that's when census time comes out, and you can redistrict, and that's when, if we're going to redistrict, maybe we will reduce. So another thing that's going to be on the agenda when we get through our long list of items that are already on the agenda. So.
Pine Valley Community Village, too. You know, that's been a little bit in the news the last year and a half. How are things going there, Candace?
They're going great. You know, yep, we had a little bit of a hiccup there. Nothing I don't think that anyone would have ever seen coming. But, you know, things have settled down. Our interim director, Angela Wall, has been just an absolute godsend. She's wonderful. She's doing such a great job. She actually has worked in long-term care for over 30 years. So she started as a CNA and has worked her way up and is now a nursing home administrator. So she has done about every job there is to do in a nursing home and has worked in several different, you know, organizations, different sizes, different formats. And so she brings a lot of insight into how operations at Pine Valley should look and a lot of ideas for efficiency. And still just absolute wonderful care. So I'm really appreciative of her. Our new maintenance supervisor, Chad Williamson, is doing an outstanding job. He also is bringing a fresh set of eyes, new ideas for, again, efficiencies, ensuring that we're maintaining our buildings appropriately. He's pointed out some things that, you know, as far as our capital planning, maybe that we need to take another look at and that we need to do differently to make sure that we're maintaining that beautiful building that we have and keeping it in that new condition so that we don't wind up, again, letting things go too long, right? And then going, oh, no, we didn't keep it up the way we should. So, which is great. We've been able to hire all of our own full and part-time staff. We have no agency in the building. In 2023, Richland County spent $700,000 on agency staff, which is a staggering amount of money, more than some departments spend on actual full-time departmental staff or all operations. In fact, that's more than administration spends on operations for five staff and everything else that we do. So that was one of the goals, was to get rid of agency staffing and hire our own staff. And in less than a month and a half, we've been able to do that, which is a huge goal, huge savings, creates much more efficiency. Now we're looking at our overtime, because our overtime has been staggering as well. How can we create efficiencies there? Still maintain that quality of care. Make sure our ratios are still the way that they are. Make sure those residents are still prioritized. And we're doing that. So yes, everything at Pine Valley is going extremely well. I couldn't be more thrilled with that.
Is that unique? Pine Valley Community Village, you know, the county oversees that, the county board?
It's becoming more unique as time goes on. Fewer and fewer counties are operating their own facility of that nature for various reasons. A lot of them are fiscal. One constant that we've had with Pine Valley that we're very proud of is the quality of care provided. It is a 5-star rated facility, and residents up and down the line praise the staff for the work they do, and we know that that's an important part of the experience and the quality of life out there. So kudos to the staff for the level of quality care they continue to provide, even through changes that we've had to go through.
Mm-hmm. And then the Richland Airport, too, that's something that you oversee as well. Things are looking good there, Steve.
Yes. The ditch project is done. The company I work for, Hartung Brothers, we farm all the way around it. So far, nothing has flooded.
Uh-huh.
We haven't had the big rain events other than this spring, but the most I've seen in any of the ditch was about 6 to 8 inches of water. Mm-hmm. Even with the heavy rains we had earlier here in 2024. So it's improving. We have just signed an agreement with us in Sauk County. So now it is still going to be called Tri-County Airport, but it's just Richland and Sauk County.
Oh.
Iowa County chose to get out, and it was a process that has never been done in the state of Wisconsin. So it took a year and a half to get this to where we just signed paperwork last week. Mm-hmm. They have their own airport, you know, the one there at Mineral Point, so they chose to leave, which was fine. So yeah. We've got a lot of help from Cardinal Glass out there. They did a lot of the initial monetary values to give us some money to do the initial engineering work on the ditch, and then we actually got to tie it into a federal project once we purchased the property. The Tri-County Airport, per se, bought the land where the ditch is running. So.
Okay. Yeah, Dave, something you wanted to add?
I was just going to say, it'll still be called the Tri-County Airport because apparently it's a huge federal deal to change the name of an airport.
Oh.
So even though there are only two counties, it'll still be called Tri-County.
Everything's a learning process,
it
right?
Is.
It seems
it
like.
Is.
Indeed. Good. Anything else anybody would like to add today that we didn't discuss? Candace?
Well, I guess I would just like to say that I couldn't have asked for a better county staff. You know, in my time here, I can't thank the staff of Richland County enough. I have a great team. My department heads are absolutely outstanding. They're always willing to take on a new challenge, do something a new way, look at something a little bit different, bring a new idea. And our staff, for the most part, are right on board and right in there. We've got a bunch of younger, you know, new hires, some of them fresh out of college. And I tell you, the energy and excitement that they bring and the fresh set of eyes is amazing. And even some staff that's been with us a long time, they're saying, you know, I think we can do something differently. And I've appreciated that so much. And I'm just really excited to see what we can accomplish. We've got a very supportive board that is ready for change. And that is really behind all of us. And I really think we have wonderful things to come.
Great. Dave?
I would echo that. The shift in energy has been perceptible over the last several years, and I felt it being involved in the county board. And we want folks to be involved in that. So reach out to your county board representative if you have questions about anything the county's doing, and then they'll connect with Candace. They'll connect with other board members to either get you information you need or express the opinion you've shared. We want to be involved and engaged with the people that we're serving and make sure that we're providing that service in a responsible manner, fiscally responsible, and just to help people understand some of the things we do and how we have to do them sometimes.
Steve, anything else you wanted to add?
A couple items. I remember when I got on the township board and old Charlie Leffler told me one day when I was at the L&M Salvage, he said, Steve, you won't see me at the board meeting as long as things are going good. But he said, if I show up, you know I've got something to discuss with you guys. So
that's the way it is with any board, I think,
yes,
isn't it?
As long as it's going well, people don't show up. But I remember the crowd that we had in the county boardroom when we were deciding on the solar panel array that went in down there, not very far actually from the airport. So a lot of people were concerned about it, you know, and we went through the process, and now it's bringing in some income for the county. So other than that, I still want to put another plug in for Peg Call. She does need, we need help out there at the gates. Last year, I asked Candace if she wanted to work a gate. I said, I know a few people that I can introduce you to as they come through the gate. So we did that on Saturday afternoon, I think it was, and got her to introduce to quite a few people. And so I contact myself or Candace or even Lyric out at the office if you're willing to help out. They have shortened the hours for the, I think they were four-hour stints last year, and I think they went to three-hour stints trying to make it easier for people so they're not such a time commitment. So,
great. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in here and the transparency and, you know, not afraid to tackle any of the subjects here today. That's good stuff. But we hope people will come out to the meeting next Wednesday, and then we'll have you on after that because you'll know a little bit more, Candace, about what's going on then. And that's also campus buildings, but also the county, the courthouse and all of that as well, right?
Correct. Yes, it's the courthouse and the community service building as well.
Okay, sounds good. And that, again, is at the White House on Wednesday. What time again?
6 p.m.
Great. We'll keep plugging that here on WRCO as well. Richland County Board Chairman David Turk, along with Vice Chair Steve Williamson and County Administrator Candace Pesch on today's morning show.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams September holiday sale and get 30% off paints and stains from August 30th through September 9th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This past Wednesday sale at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola, slaughter cows are stronger, calves steady. Holstein bull calves sold up to $560, beef crossbred calves $790 and down. The fleshy beef cows range from 125 to 142, dairy cows 94 to 136, with the questionable health and small thin cows lower. Bulls up to 156. Our feeder sale dates will be on Friday, September 6th and Friday, September 27th. The second sale date was moved back a week due to the Viola Horse and Colt Show. Due to the abundant grass pastures, we're anticipating a later movement of pasture cattle this year. The good pasture also will mean heavier and fleshier cattle being marketed. Contact Darren, Colt, or Jim if you have cattle to sell. We'll come out to your farm, give you an idea of what your package of cattle could bring at our sales at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark Jelenic is back to talk today a little bit more about pre-planning. Can you give us an update, Mark?
Sure. So last week we talked about our upcoming seminar on September 18th and 19th. But some people, a lot of people, just like to pre-plan on their own. So there's a really important reason to pre-plan, which we've touched on in previous programs. But it does alleviate a lot of stress and pressure from your family. At the time of death, your senses are very heightened. You know, you have a lot going on. How am I going to pay for this? What can I do for mom? How do I be sure that her wishes are taken care of? Or you'd like to do certain things, but you don't necessarily know how you're going to be able to take care of that. A lot of people come in and they have questions and they'll say, oh, I bet you don't know how to do this, or we don't know how to do this. Your questions are probably not as far out there as you think they might be. You know, can I bury on my land? Can I drive my own loved one to the cemetery? Can I watch a cremation? Can I be there for the burial? Can I play certain songs? Can I do this? So there's a lot of questions out there of things that people might be thinking about doing that they don't feel necessarily comfortable because they heard somewhere on TV or one of their friends told them or it was on this infomercial that you can't do that. Very rarely do we tell someone that their request is not doable. Almost everything you can find a way to do. We might have to, you know, deviate a little bit from their plan of, you know, when we can play that song or what we can do or how we can do it legally. You know, if they want a green burial, well, what does green mean to you? Well, green means something different to everyone. You know,
some people will stop me and tell me, well, I don't want to be cremated. Well, you telling me you don't want to be cremated isn't really going to hold a lot of weight if we don't sit down and make a pre-plan of it. Other people say, I don't want to be buried. I want to be cremated. Works exactly the same way of we need to have a written plan of how are we going to make this happen? Because if you just tell that to me on a Tuesday when we're having a conversation, you know, at a local restaurant, I'm not going to remember this in 30 years. But if we have a plan, we pull out files, and we can always review them. We have people call the funeral home all the time and say, you know, we set something up about 10 years ago. I don't remember what I did. That's perfect. If you did a pre-plan and you don't remember it, that means you set it up far enough in the future that you've had time to go home, think about it. We can evaluate, is that what you want to do or not do? So it's really important. It takes a lot of pressure off your family. Sometimes there's only one child. Well, now all the pressure is on that one individual. Or if you go to the other end of it, in some of these families, you know, they have 6, 7, 8, 9 kids. Well, you can't get that many people to agree upon anything.